Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induo Rampol Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bible Issues. My name is Dr. Denver Chedi. I would like to read some verses from the book of Luke chapter 10, starting from verse 17. Jesus has sent his disciples out two by two and told them to go and heal the sick and cast out demons in my name and proclaim to them that the kingdom of God has come. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And verse 20 says, Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And talk about putting a damp towel in somebody's enthusiasm. The disciples came back excited. I mean, anybody would be excited that they were able to heal the sick and cast out demons. Even these so-called miracle churches would be excited if a genuine miracle takes place. It is a normal human emotion. You pray for someone, they get healed. You will feel excited. You will feel happy. And you will rejoice. You will sing all of your healing songs. It's a natural reaction. And the disciples came back understandably excited that they were able to heal the sick. And Jesus told them, don't rejoice that you're able to heal the sick and cast out demons. Don't rejoice because you have authority over the enemy. Rather, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In other words, don't rejoice because you have the anointing, so to speak. Rejoice because you're saved. And modern day Christians will find it very difficult to understand that verse. As modern day charismatic Christians, we all love verse 19. Behold, I give you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions. But we all hate verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And the reason I say modern-day Christians hate that verse is because modern Christianity is all about earthly success. It's all about how to use God, how to use the Bible, how to use Christianity to achieve earthly success, to maximize your potential, to have your best life now, or whatever catchy phrase you put to it. It is all about earthly success measured by earthly wisdom. Whereas Jesus is trying to inculcate in his disciples an eternal perspective. Yes, the spirits are subject to you, but don't let that be your focus. Don't let that be your joy. Let your joy remain in the constant fact that your name is written in the book of life in heaven. Because life on earth has so many ups and downs. If you rejoice too much whenever you have some kind of success, it is only a matter of time before that joy turns into sorrow, because life is so full of ups and downs. You have success today, failure tomorrow, happiness today, disappointment tomorrow, and you can't let your spiritual state waver based on the circumstances of life or how successful you are. You have to let your spiritual state rest on something that is constant, your eternal state. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Jesus was trying to inculcate in his disciples an eternal perspective because he knew that their entire walk with Christ was not going to be as happy as this particular day when they came back rejoicing that the spirits were subject to them. Because later on, when they were able to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, get thousands of people saved, the next day they got flogged with whips for preaching in Jesus' name. So he needed their joy and their spiritual state to not rest on earthly circumstances. He needed it to rest on some kind of eternal perspective. And the same thing is true of us because Christianity has not changed. We as Christians are supposed to develop that eternal perspective. As I like to put it, keeping our focus on eternity but glancing around occasionally on earth. So you have things on earth to take care of, but they are not supposed to consume your entire Christian existence. Your focus is supposed to be on heaven while just taking care of the things that need to be taken care of on earth. That is a state that is very difficult to achieve from an earthly perspective. The reason for that is that whenever we have success on earth, we get happy, we rejoice, we love God more than anybody else. But whenever trials come, we are depressed, we are sad, we don't want to pray, we get bitter and angry against God, and our life is full of wavering. Just like the children of Israel, they went through these cycles where they would repent and come back to God, and God would bless them and do a great work in their midst, and then they would forget God once again and go back into idolatry and complacency and rebellion. And the cycle would continue over and over for hundreds of years. Our lives tend to be like that as well. Our emotions rise and fall based on our circumstances. And it is difficult to find that middle ground where we are happy about what happens on earth, but at the same time, our main focus is on eternity. And very often, we have to recalibrate. We have to check ourselves, examine ourselves to see if our focus is right, if our heart is right, if we have developed any affections to the things of this world, and then make the necessary adjustments. Many people use an app called Waze to help them navigate directions wherever they have to go. And Waze will tell you in 200 meters, turn right, as the case may be. And if you miss your turn, you will hear Waze do this kind of boop-boop sound, which means it's going to recalibrate. It realized that you went off course, and it needs to take the appropriate actions to get you back on course. And that is how our Christian life works as well. Life is full of trials. We'll have good times, we'll have bad times. And as a result of all of these life circumstances, we may tend to go off course. And then God may send a trial, and we will have to recalibrate once again. And as a responsible Christian, we are supposed to continually check our lives to make sure that we are on course, we are where God wants us to be, our affections are where God told us to place them, and that we are not too attached to the things of this world. This is not a one and done thing that is done from the time you get saved and you never have to do it again. It's not like that at all. It is something that you have to continually do. In order for a plant to grow, you must continually remove weeds. You always have to keep checking on it to make sure it's watered, to make sure it's not too saturated, to make sure there are no weeds or thorns choking out the life of it. Last time I talked about that parable of the soils, where the thorns are cares of this life that choke out the word of God. That is something that has to be continually removed. You always have to remove weeds because weeds naturally grow. So you have to keep removing them. And the same thing is true with our spiritual life. Our natural man always wants to act in his own self-interest. Our natural man is inherently selfish and self-centered, whereas the Christian life requires that we deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow. So we have to continually check to make sure that our natural man, our flesh, has not regained control of our life and dictating our life. It is something that we have to continually do, recalibration, or spiritual recalibration. Whenever we go through some kind of life circumstances, we need to check to see if we are still bearing the fruit of the Spirit, or if there's some kind of weeds or thorns choking out the life of God in us. Sometimes we go off course because we become complacent. Maybe things in our life are too happy, we don't have enough problems, and we've developed a nice little equilibrium in life. We have money, we have happiness, our family members are doing well, we don't have COVID, and we are doing well. So we tend to become complacent, and I know this is something that affects me to an extent, that when I become too comfortable, I tend to become complacent, and I take spiritual things for granted. My prayer life suffers as a result of it, and God knows how to deal with that. All it takes is one little trial to shake me up, and it gets me right back to the place where I have to pray and seek God and to cry out to God to help me in whatever situation I'm going through. So God occasionally uses trials to kind of help us to recalibrate and get our focus back to where it should be. But there are some Christians, on the other hand, who go through too many trials, too many adverse circumstances in life. Maybe God didn't answer your prayer, the thing that you were praying for more than anything else, you didn't get it, and it starts to weigh on you. You're at the point where you're no longer praying about it because you've given up on the idea that God cares about you, and you've believed the lie that God doesn't care, that God hates you, and you stop praying, you've become bitter against God and resentful against Him because He hasn't blessed you in the way that you want to be blessed. The book of Hebrews talks about that. It talks about, let no root of bitterness spring up. It is understandable that trials could do that, but why? The hard reason why we allow trials to break us down to that level where we become bitter against God when we don't get our way is because we are not dead to self. We have not fully denied ourselves and taken up His cross. I believe out of every 100 Christians that come for counseling, 99 of them, their root problem is that they are too attached to the things of this world. The Bible said trials will come. When Paul talked about this light affliction is only for a moment, he didn't mean you will only get trials for a few months. He meant your whole life. This whole life is what he referred to as a light affliction, which is nothing compared to the glory that shall come. God is not obligated to give you what you want in life, and you have to understand that your life is not your own. The life that you live unto Christ. Whether you eat or drink, live or die, you do it unto God. And we all have needs, we all have desires, they're all things that we want, we all have dreams and aspirations. But all of those things we need to lay at His feet, and we need to surrender these things to Him if He so desires. And if God chooses in His sovereignty not to give us the thing that we wanted most in life, we must have the maturity to go to God and say, I surrender all. And that is your way of recalibrating, of getting back to that place of self-denial where God originally called you. As a Christian, you will go through these cycles numerous times. Refocusing, recalibrating is something that you're going to have to do over and over again. What are some of the ways in which you have deviated from the course that Jesus laid out for us? He said, if any man must follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow. He said, set your affections on things which are above. Don't lay up treasure on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up treasure in heaven. What are some of the ways in which you have deviated from what God called you to do? And I call to you to recalibrate, to go to God, ask Him, search me, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. Just like Waze, recognize that if you have gone off course, to recalibrate and to get back to where God wants you to be. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induwa Rampol Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.